2 weeks ago, on the Feast of the Holy Family, I preached in part about the sexual revolution and the challenge it poses to Christianity, particularly to the Christian understanding of marriage and the place of human sexuality in our lives. Many of you thanked me for the clarity and candor of my homily as you left the church that day. One woman, however, was not pleased. She was very pleasant when she introduced herself as a visitor from another city who coincidentally was here that day for Mass with her adult son and his girlfriend. She explained that her son had been raised a Catholic, received the sacraments as a child, but no longer practices the faith. She had to cajole him to come with her to Mass that day, and he brought his girlfriend with him. But they left. They left church angry because they found my words offensive. We were standing outside in the winter wind. It was not a conducive environment to explain at great length what I think is really going on in the life of her son, but I have heard similar stories from many of you about your adult children whom you attempted to give the gospel and the sacraments of the new covenant and who now no longer practice the faith. This is the largest, if I may use the term, religious group in the United States and the fastest growing. These are the people who say that they are spiritual but not religious, or who, when asked by pollsters, say that they have no religion. Hence, they are called the nuns. But in truth, no one has no religion. Everyone will have a system of beliefs that attempts to explain the transcendent horizon of human life. Why we exist, how we should live, what will happen when we die. And in the year 2005, a book was published by two sociologists called Soul Searching: The Religious and Spiritual Lives of American Teenagers. This is not a work of theology, but of sociology. The authors interviewed thousands of teens, and their research yielded what they call the new civil religion of America. They coined the term moralistic therapeutic deism. It doesn't trip off the tongue. Moralistic therapeutic deism. Deism comes from the Latin deus, God. It's not atheism. It's a form of theistic belief. It's therapeutic. It relies primarily on models of secular psychology for understanding the internal structure of the human person, and it is moralistic. It understands the world in reference to good and evil, but in its own therapeutic deistic way. To avoid having to say moralistic therapeutic deism 15 times today, I'll simply say MTD, and those who follow this doctrine are MTDers. What the researchers found in their interviews with all the teens they spoke to, people who are now, by the way, are in their early 30s and have their own children, is that MTD has five primary dogmas. First, a God exists who created the world and who watches over human life. Again, this is not atheism. Second, this creator God wants people to be happy in their own lives and nice to each other. Third, the purpose of life is to be happy and to feel good about oneself. Fourth, God is not involved in our lives until and unless we need him to solve a problem that is beyond our skill. And five, good people go to heaven when they die. These five dogmas of MTD, if I may call it the Church of MTD, are not transmitted in a catechism, not taught by a clergy. They are purely the cultural air we breathe. This understanding of human life and the transcendent horizon of our lives fills the air. In the high culture and the low culture and the popular culture, television, movies, music, entertainment of every kind, journalism, the universities, moralistic therapeutic deism is now the default setting of Western people, particularly of a certain age. The researchers in the case of this book in 2005 were focused on those who were teens at the time, but it's clear that this attitude, this worldview, has spread far beyond teenagers or young adults, and is, as I have said, the fastest growing religious movement, not only in the United States, but in the Western world. One further consideration. MTD often appropriates the language of Christianity, speaking of God as a good start, but it also speaks of good and evil and of Christian concepts like forgiveness. But though it appropriates Christian vocabulary, MTD empties those words of their meaning. In fact, they're often turned upside down, and in the MTD discourse mean the opposite of what we mean by the Christian use of those words. A good example, forgiveness. MTDers will often say to one another, "You must forgive yourself." What do they mean? They mean, I've done something wrong, and I feel guilty about it, but I don't know what to do with the guilt. Talking to my therapist hasn't resolved the guilt. I need to do something more. What more must I do? Forgive myself. When Christians use the word forgiveness, however, we mean what? That we have transgressed the eternal moral law, and the guilt we feel for having done that is the conscience, the voice of God speaking in the depths of the soul saying, that is wrong. And the remedy is what? Repent. Repentance. Conversion. And then seeking forgiveness from whom? Not from myself, but from God. That's the very structure of sin and redemption in human life in the Christian understanding. When MTDers speak of forgiveness, they mean almost exactly the opposite of what Christians mean by the same word. I go on at such length about this subject today because the Church of Moralistic Therapeutic Deism, while it seems harmless enough, after all, who can be against the pursuit of happiness and niceness, is in fact a dangerous, false religion. It is the chief competitor in our time to the gospel of Jesus Christ, and it is luring baptized Christians, including Catholics, by the millions, by the tens of millions, away from the path of salvation and into a false religion which worships the self, myself. Those of you who have children, perhaps, siblings, maybe parents, siblings, friends, colleagues, who once followed the way of the Lord Jesus and now no longer do, need to understand what you're facing in order to find the right way to approach them. Again, it isn't that they have become atheists. It is that they have left Christianity, specifically, in our case, the Catholic Church, and joined the Church of Moralistic Therapeutic Deism. And in order to explain why what they're following is, in fact, a false religion, and that they need to hear once again the Word of God proclaimed with clarity and conviction, we have to understand the structure in their minds and hearts of this replacement for the gospel. It matters entirely how we begin to approach them and speak again the truth of God's saving word. And that is what we see going on in the scriptures appointed for today. In the first lesson, God is speaking to the young boy Samuel, who will in time become a great prophet. Samuel, whose mother has entrusted him to the care of Eli in the first temple of Israel, not in Jerusalem, hears the voice of God but does not understand it. It is Eli who helps him understand what is happening. Anyone who has been baptized has been called by name, as was Samuel. Anyone who has received the grace of second birth by water and the Holy Spirit is configured to Christ in a way that can never be effaced. A sacramental character, an eternal seal has been placed in the soul. When such a person abandons Christ and follows the path of moralistic therapeutic deism, they will continue to hear the voice of God. Our task is to help them understand what that voice is and what it says. And it does not say, forgive yourself. It says, repent and believe in the gospel. The psalmist sang, here am I, Lord, I come to do your will. The MTD-er sings, here am I, myself, I come to do my will. It is a fundamentally different understanding of the very nature and purpose of human life. At the heart of Christianity is the paradox that we must die to self in order to live. We must follow Christ in the way of the cross in order to find peace and eternal happiness. We must renounce ourselves, take up our cross, and follow Christ in order to find freedom, the freedom of the children of God. St. Paul, in his letter to the Corinthians, is urging them to understand that the gospel requires them not simply to believe true ideas, but to conform their entire lives, even in the body, to the way of life proposed by Christ the Lord. The body is not for immorality, but for the Lord. He's speaking here about sexual sin. This is one of the almost universal traits of MDTers. They will not allow themselves to be called to repentance. They take offense at the very suggestion that anything in their lives, provided that they are happy and being nice to others, is in any way objectively wrong. The young man and his girlfriend who left 2 weeks ago in anger are almost certainly of this variety of MTD-er. The gospel, however, is impossible without the recognition of my own lack of righteousness, that I do not exist in a just relationship with God, with others, or with my own true self until I allow myself to be changed from the inside out by the grace of God. For the Lord is for the body. God raised the Lord and will raise us by his power. Do you know that your bodies are members of Christ? By our baptism, we become children of God, members of Christ, and heirs of the kingdom of heaven. Do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit, whom you have from God, and that you are not your own? We do not belong to ourselves when we have been claimed by Christ. Paul says, for you have been purchased at a price. What is that price? The precious blood of Jesus Christ poured out into the ground for our salvation. Therefore, glorify God in your body. And finally, in the gospel, we see the pattern of all evangelization. Peter comes to Jesus because he's brought by his brother Andrew. Andrew comes to Jesus because he is pointed out by John the Baptist. Behold, the Lamb of God. See the one who takes away our sins. Having been pointed to Jesus by John, Andrew seeks his company. Rabbi, where are you staying? Jesus asks him, what do you seek? That impulse in the human heart to seek more, to understand more deeply, to penetrate the veil of the horizon of eternity is answered by the Word made flesh, who speaks to our hearts and minds and gives us saving doctrine so that we may understand the truth about ourselves, why we exist and how we must live to be happy. And having been instructed by Christ, Andrew cannot contain himself. He rushes to find his brother, Simon. We have found the Messiah. And he brings him to Jesus. He doesn't just tell him about this person. He brings him to Jesus. And Jesus changes him. The change in his name is symbolic of the change in his life. Simon becomes Kepha, the rock. We have been called by name, just as were Samuel, Andrew, Simon Peter. And having been called, we are sent. It is our duty and privilege to bring the good news that Jesus Christ is Lord to everyone we know, including, especially, those who were baptized and have wandered away, who have joined the church of moralistic, therapeutic deism, and who still hear the voice of God, even if they know it not or understand it not. Friends, you've heard me say many times that with the triumph of Christianity in the 4th century, a Christian culture was formed in the West, which almost by itself transmitted the gospel for a millennium or more. That is over. The time of cultural Christianity, if there ever was such a thing, is finished once and for all. Now, the culture transmits a different faith, the faith of MTD. Resisting the proclamation of that religion requires our constant and full attention. We have to know the difference between the gospel and its competitors. We have to know the gospel deeply. We have to believe it and be living it in order to share it with others. And when we find that someone we know and love has been seduced from the way of the Lord to follow in the church of moralistic therapeutic deism, then with patience, with love, with humility, with constancy, we must seek the way to say, you have departed from the way of life. Let me show you the more excellent way of divine love, revealed in the Holy Scriptures of the Old and the New Testament, revealed in the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, lived in the church, which is his body, by the power of the sacraments in which we meet him, who is the resurrection and the life, the Lord Jesus Christ.